Hey, this is Sam from the future. Just to say, during the show, at one point, we briefly in passing mention that the Syrian rebels were making some progress and taking some ground and blah, blah, blah. But we didn't really talk about it at all. It was just sort of literally in passing as something we weren't really going to spend time on. But since we recorded the show and before I'm putting it out, the Syrian government of Assad, of Bashar Assad, fell completely. He left the country. The rebels have taken over. The prime minister is handing over the reins of power, etc. There were some rumors for a little while that Bashir himself may have died in a plane crash, but it seems that was false. And he has actually made it safely to Russia. And there's a lot of question about this HTS group who's taken over and they're the ones that actually took over Damascus, but they're in a coalition with a lot of other rebel groups. And are they, it's historically a jihadist group, but are they more moderate now? They're claiming to be or not, or what will happen next and blah, blah, blah. Both Israel and the US are attacking various things in Syria to try to take out weapons stores and other stuff to keep them out of the hands of the rebels that just took over. Developments are moving rapidly, in other words. Things are happening, and we did not talk about it on the show at all. Depending on what else happens in the world over the next week, we may or may not end up talking about it next week. But major development that happened in this interim period between recording the show and putting it out, so I thought I'd just make a note of it. Anyway, here's our show. Do. Hello.
Okay, I can only be on briefly.
Okay.
All right. So, Juana, yeah, she's because they, like, you know, they give you this stuff that basically just like numbs down the leg like crazy, but that's wearing off.
Okay. Okay.
So I could just join to, I don't know, talk for a little bit, and then I'll let you.
How long do you think briefly is? Are we talking half an hour?
I don't know if you, maybe, yeah.
At 15 most, minutes, yeah. 10 minutes, five?
I don't know. Depends on when I get the call that she needs help.
Okay. Okay. Then let's just get this sucker going. Here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, December 7th, 2024. It's just after 20 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So. I mentioned last week...
I run a hospital, Sam.
So tell us about this. I only mentioned last week that you were out due to a family health thing and that, you know, your wife had been injured. You have any more you want to share on that?
Well, yeah, she ruptured her Achilles tendon playing basketball with my son last Wednesday. Now, look, my wife is somebody that actually partakes in a lot of athletic activities, you know, including Spartan races, which are, I don't know if you've ever seen video of those. They're nuts. Yeah. They're these massive obstacle races where you have to climb ropes and you have to do all sorts of crazy things while you run for miles, for example. Okay. She exercises a lot, lifts weights, does all this shit. So it's not like she's out of shape and doing exercise. So she was just doing some light basketball with my son. And all of a sudden, in some drill, her Achilles tendon snapped. She had to be taken to the ER. Yep. They diagnosed it. She couldn't walk. Doc, it's happened a weekend before Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving weekend plans were completely ruined. Monday, I got her to the doctor. They confirmed the diagnosis at the ER. Then they had to do an MRI. And the same day that I needed to do a CAT CT scan for my lower intestines because of my episode last week. So I had an MRI in the morning and then a CT scan in the afternoon, and then the next day surgery, which is Thursday all day
for
at
your
the
wife,
hospital
just to be clear. Surgery
for my wife. Yeah, yeah. Apparently I'm fine. And then, you know, there was a condo election this week that also happened on Tuesday. that was basically my election for the board is a mirror of the 2020 election for president.
2020, not 2024?
Yeah, not okay. 2024, 2020.
Yeah.
In which I did win re-election.
So wait, if it's 2020, so then you're the Trump character here. You're the evil person in charge and somebody's trying to kick you out.
No. It's 2020 in the sense that I'm like Biden and I did win. Okay. But the election has been heavily disputed.
Okay.
By the other people. A lot of it because they didn't really understand the law. Even though a whole bunch of flurry of actions and things have been filed by this person. But let's be clear about this. This guy who is leading it is an attorney. And then I go and I look at, okay, where is he an attorney at? Okay. I don't know if you clicked on the information I sent about him, Sam.
No, I just read what you said. I didn't click through.
Okay. So you didn't read that. It's a law firm that has four lawyers, two partners, but the main partner is a guy that has been on the defense team for Rudy Giuliani, mm-hmm. Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay. And is an attorney that has been the one that represented the most J6ers.
Okay.
And this guy is his young apprentice. And he came in screaming how at this election, I always bring our legal counsel to make sure that the election is run in accordance with the statutes. Okay. And this guy kept screaming how that's not the law. And my attorney kept having to say, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Lovely.
And has continued to file a series of actions and things and challenges, all which are basically have fallen flat because he doesn't know the law or he's choosing to ignore the law. I'm actually on the side that he doesn't really know the law because he's barely passed the bar a couple of months ago. This guy is a 23-year-old, 24-year-old guy, as far as I can tell, 26, 27, something in the 20s. But one thing about being a lawyer and you having passed the bar a couple of months ago is that if you're that young a lawyer and haven't really practiced, you don't really know the law yet. Okay. It really takes a lot of work for you to get. And there are a lot of specialties. Okay. You know, a lawyer that is a criminal attorney doesn't know condominium law. Okay. Or tax law, for example. It's they're not the same, you know, the same things. And so, anyway, it gets better because last night after Sergio and whatever, after our property manager, in violation of privacy laws, for some reason thought it was okay to share the email addresses of all the owners of the association without their consent, which, by the way, needs to be done, sent out a solicitation to have me recalled from office.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm like this guy, you know, I don't know all these people that are in this circle, they think that just screaming and yelling and saying, you don't know the law. When I'm like, no, the guy that doesn't know the law is you. I don't know. But they keep citing incorrect law and they've been driving me crazy.
So let me ask a fundamental question, and then we can move on, because like nobody cares about the details of your condo association, to be frank. But no, like, is there actually a contentious issue here? Like, why does anybody care? Like, is there something they hate? They don't like.
Listen, as far as I could tell, the only issue has been that there was a construction project that got very delayed.
Okay.
You know, because as construction projects do, and they were irate about the delays in the construction. That's it. I mean, there's nothing else really. And a few people have repeated that to me. And it's just that, you know, you do construction projects and contractors being contractors, and you know, it wound up making it that the construction, the pool wound up closed, supposed to be closed for 4 months. It wound up being closed for 14 months. Okay.
That's a bit
and I
longer.
Understand it's a bit longer, and I understand their frustration, but you know, look, at some point at month five, as they're going along and the pool's moving along, all of a sudden all the workers walked off the site. And I'm like, well, what the hell happened? And then they told me, well, we're subs and the contractor stopped paying us. And I'm like, well, we paid the contractor already. So you know, it's like the contractor's not paying them. And so this began a multi-month delay in the construction because because of that. And then they hadn't filed for the permits, and then there were permitting issues. And then when they finished, the city inspectors came and said that a lot of the work had been done was not up to code. So it was just, you know, but unfortunately, I've been in a lot of construction projects. So anybody out there, construction projects are never on time. Maybe not never, but it's a rarity for any construction project to be completed on time. Okay. Anybody seen any construction projects like large, like public works projects, like, you know, highway, you know, everybody remembers like the Boston, like the big dig, like whatever, that thing was supposed to be a few years, took 20, 30 years to complete, for God's sakes, you know, but listen, at any scale, these construction projects are always delayed. And so I get that, but there was another issue, which goes back to a little bit to 2020, some election issues, which is that, okay, every year we mail the ballots, okay? We're supposed to send them back. I don't know what the hell the problem has been with the mail or the provider or I don't know where the glitch is.
Some people didn't get their ballots?
That's right. The ballots were massively delayed, okay? I don't know why. I really, at this point, don't know why. And some people are saying that we did it on purpose, and I'm like, shit, use the same vendor we've used. I don't know why the ballots didn't get there on time. But the thing is that the statute basically says, as long as the ballots were sent, it's one of those, as long as the statute is that we need to send the ballots on a certain date, and we have completed the law. Receiving the ballots, we need to receive them on the day of the election. If they're not received, we can't count. Okay. No ballot can be received after we start opening envelopes from the ballots. That's it. No more ballots can be received. And so it's one of those where, you know, this issue with the mail, you know, we talked about mail voting and how that's an issue. It really impacted us as well. I mean, it's a process that we've done for many years. And then all of a sudden, you know, we sending first class mail, and it takes all of a sudden 2 weeks for people to get it. The statute says 2 weeks. You need to send them out 2 weeks in advance. So one of the things is discussing with attorney, it was like, look, you send them on time, you can't do anything about it. I mean, I was like thinking that to postpone the vote somehow, but they told me that we couldn't do that because he had to be done during the calendar year. And I'm like, fuck, well. So a lot of people are irate about that, but unfortunately it wasn't, it wasn't intentional. So anyway, it created a lot of them. I got a lot of angry calls, emails, things. I actually got both sides. I got positive ones, I got negative ones. You know, part of the whole thing is, I don't know, just a lot of false accusations about shit also. Oh my God, so many false accusations. I've not been insulted and yelled at like this in a long time. Which is I'm going to say that's the one thing that's just, I've got my wife in surgery. I got all this stuff or whatever. And I'm basically just being hammered with insults. Not exactly great.
What's the right way to ask this question? Why do you care enough to not just say, okay, fuck it, I'm out?
Because
I'll tell you, immediately for me, I'd be like, none of that's worth the hassle. Screw it. I don't care. Somebody else can do it.
You know, because I've lived here for a long time, and I know that a lot of people that are owners for a long time would probably be harmed by a group of inexperienced people taking the board. you know, and I also worry about the employees of the association, you know, to having somebody that is in every communication I've had with them be belligerent, be a people manager. I've got some employees here that have worked like 15, 20 years, and I honestly don't want them to be supervised by somebody that is going to treat them poorly. You know, and I do worry about the other, you know, because it impacts the community as well. Other owners are going to get impacted because a lot of the things that they have discussed and proposed, one of the biggest concerns is keeping costs in check. And they don't understand that a lot of the financial things that they have talked about are just going to backfire financially. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, well, wind up hitting my pocketbook as well. So it's tough. I honestly, listen, believe me, I had given thought to that. But the thing is that when the people are using lies, intimidation, it's this lies and intimidation tactic to try to get people to just bend to their will. And I don't want to just do that.
And just to be clear, like you said, they have a lot of complaints about like a delayed construction project from the past. What are they saying they'd do differently going forward?
Nothing. They haven't said not a thing.
Okay.
I mean, they said that, the thing is that they keep saying that nobody listens to their suggestions. I had somebody that went and listed suggestions that they said that we didn't listen to. And I actually said, you know what? All those things that you said are either already done or in process of being done. So I don't know what the hell you're saying that we're not listening to your suggestions when we actually either did them or we're in the process of doing them. So I'm baffled because I don't, when you look at what they're asking for, they're not really asking for anything.
Okay.
It's to make America great again.
Okay. So I didn't mention agenda. Agenda is as usual. We're doing this, but first segment. And then if Yvonne is able to stay, we'll see how long Yvonne can stay because he might have to go attend to his wife. We will do more serious stuff after that. So first of all, I'm just going to update my one from last week. My second attempt at buying the stupid microphone, I actually got a proper new one that was...
look at that.
Clearly, like when it came out of the box, it was pristine. It was wrapped properly. All the seals were sealed. And like when I took it out, it was undamaged.
The seals being sealed are important.
You know, I don't know if you listened to last week's show, like the first one I ordered a new one, but it was clearly used and damaged when it arrived. And so
where did you buy it from?
My employer. But it was one of their third parties. Anyway, I complained about this a lot last episode. Listen to that if you care. But anyway, I have a proper... This one is actually new and good and happy. So,
well,
yeah. And so that's my update. I did set it up. It's good. Yeah. So I have nothing else to say about that. I figured since you might have to go early, we can take a break and jump right into the serious stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind. No Blue Thing. Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening. And The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, we are back. So Yvonne, there was actually a few newsy things that happened this last week. Where would you like to start?
I'm gonna tell you the one that I want to start with.
I have a guess. Let me see if I'm right.
It's the United Healthcare
CEO. I was right. I was right. I knew where Yvonne was wanting to go. Go ahead.
I mean, look. Well, first of all, I don't recall the last time a CEO of a company was arrested. I mean, it was murdered.
Difference between like those two things, but yes.
Yeah, very, very much. Murdered. I'm scratching my head. I don't really remember that this is a thing in recent times. But the one thing that that came out is this on social media in for the most part,
okay,
received zero empathy.
Before you get to that, just the fundamental facts. CEO of
there was an investor, there was a UHC. There are these investor meetings that are held regularly in order for big investors to go, and the company will make presentations about strategy, financials, what they're doing, what's going on, and so forth and so on. And a lot of them are held in New York City, obviously, because many of the for example, hedge funds and other companies that hold large holdings of the stocks, that they're there. So, you'll hold them there. And early in the morning, he was heading to the hotel where the meeting was held. He was walking towards the property, and somebody came up and shot him with what appeared to be a gun that was either produced very little sound or was silenced. Okay. Mm-hmm. In some way. And the person very quickly, the one thing that I was reading is that because of the way that he did the shooting, it took people a while to realize that somebody had shot. So it gave this guy plenty of time to just, take off. And, until people realized that this guy was murdered and that we needed to investigate what the hell happened. And one thing that they found is that the shell casings had three words written that I believe it came from a discovery motion on some lawsuit related to denied insurance claims. Okay. And what they said was that the strategy that they had, that they need to follow to deny that is deny, defend, depose.
Okay.
So, you deny the claim, you defend the claim, and then, if they want whatever, you start this deposition process of all those involved, And so that's a strategy. And I will tell you right now that I mean, this part of being deposed by insurance companies, I went through a lot of that. Where I had a medical insurance company that put me through a series of depositions related to a lawsuit. And they were I actually, at one point, the attorney, it just told them, I'm like, you're just doing this to fuck with me and to bill hours, right? I mean, you're just running up the fucking bill at this point. And you just want to you just want to fuck with me. And so I get the antagonism that dealing with insurance companies, which I have fought with medical insurance companies for close to 30 years. So, Jesus Christ, yeah. related to our business, related to my son's health, more specifically, more than anything, how I have had to repeatedly appeal, fight, you know, all these things in order to get my son's treatments covered. I will say that for the most part, I prevailed in almost all of them. But the one thing that I was telling people is that to always be careful, because some of the people asked me what the strategy is to deal with this kind of stuff. And I said, look, number one is that they will, like, the whole deny thing. That man, when in doubt, they'll just deny it. And what happens is that 98, 99% of people won't appeal. So they'll get a denial and they won't fight it. And so that's part of the business model, unfortunately. The insurance companies are counting that most people just will not appeal. But anytime anything got delayed, the opposite. I would appeal. I appealed every single time. And well north of 90% of the time, I wound up getting whatever the hell it was denied covered. Okay. And so I understand that. And I would say that I personally, if you look at my track record and all the shit I've had to deal with the insurance companies, you would think that I would have extreme animosity towards the CEO of one of these healthcare companies. But the reality is, I also know that part of this and why the insurance company is because the entire medical system in the U.S. is structured this way. And it's a fucked up system, okay, in which he's also, in certain ways, you want to say it or not, a cog of this fucking system. And I don't see how assassinating a CEO of a fucking insurance company is a proper response to getting health benefits denied. You know, I mean, there are so many, we say, well, we, you know, so many people that out of pocket and they died or whatever. But I also know a lot of people that without their DM insurance that they, you know, how much of their care has taken care of them in like very difficult situations. But the problem is the system itself. And the fact that, I mean, President Obama did a lot of reforms to it to make it better than it was, obviously not as far reaching as they wanted, but it's one of those things where obviously I don't see how we make any further changes anytime soon, given the political climate.
Yep.
The only changes that the GOP has proposed would actually make it a lot worse. So this creates this animosity, which I understand the animosity, but
right. So you were starting to talk
legislators.
You were starting to talk about
legislators.
When I interrupted and said, give the background, you were starting to talk about the social media response.
No, the social media response I found is just appalling. It's just a complete, I mean, just
to be clear, there are lots of people saying, yay, this is what should be happening. He deserved it.
Let's murder more CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I mean, this is not a good escalation on how to resolve the issues that we have as a society. I will say that, but we've had eras of, in the past, of a lot more assassinations. And I, you know, look,
and political violence in general. We've talked about before how, you know, people always point to the 1960s, of course, where we had several high-profile assassinations. We had all kinds of other lower-level violence in the background all the time here in the U.S. And, of course, other countries each have their own histories. But, you know, I I've said before on this show, not that I'm in any way advocating for the violence, just to be absolutely clear, but I have actually been surprised we have not seen more. And it's not that we've seen zero. You know, there have been a number of high profile incidents. Of course, you had like the couple of attempts on Donald Trump over the last few months. You had, you know, going back further, you had Gabby Giffords, and you had the congressional softball game or whatever it was. You've had a variety of those. I've just honestly been surprised there hasn't been, Nancy Pelosi's husband. You know, I've just been surprised there hasn't been more. and that more haven't been successful for the most part. And to be clear, again, like, I'm not saying it would be a good thing if there were more. It's just given the overall state of animosity in the country right now, it's surprising there's not more. And it's interesting in this
case, it has been escalating.
One of the things I wanted to say is most of the people I just mentioned, like, I spit out a whole bunch of politicians. This is a little bit different. It's a corporate CEO, but there's lots of anger there too. Like, you know, if I look at social media even before this, there's a whole bunch of sort of eat the rich, billionaires don't deserve to exist kind of talk. And, you know, this is just sort of the next sort of level of that, I guess. I mean, and you may have someone here who is specifically aggrieved, right? You know, who,
right.
You know, we'll end up finding out in terms of, like, was the killer directly affected, or was he hired by somebody who was, or whatever, who knows? But, like, you know, it may well be a situation where somebody had a specific case that was denied that resulted in a bad outcome for a family member or something, and this is them taking revenge, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can see, there was a movie about this, like, a long time ago. Like, I don't remember if it was a CEO. There was one called Desperate Measures, where there was, like, I think it was Michael Keaton, who their child got denied certain life-saving care, and he took hostages or something or whatever in order to force the insurance company to go and, like, give the life-saving care to their child. I mean, it's not like people haven't, like, this hasn't been a controversial thing in the past. I mean, I have to assume that there has to be some direct relationship between some kind of medical denial and, you know, what's that, this murder. I don't see how else, given, you know, the evidence has been found and how it happened and how targeted it was, it has to be. There's just no other explanation.
You know, there has to be something, right? But we don't know yet. The other things that people have been talking about a lot are how, quote unquote, professional this was. Like, in terms of the person who did this seemed like they knew what they were doing. They had an escape route planned out. They had sort of meticulously planned things. It looks like they messed up one or two things, but, like, you know,
for the most part, they can't find them yet.
They can't find them
yet. Or identify them.
Right. Although every day we've had a few more clues dropped that, you know,
right.
So they're on the trail. Like, now
they're on the trail.
Now, there are a lot of people who are like, they'll never find him. But, you know, these folks are good. These folks are the folks who dig into this kind of situation are good.
They're good.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so
And there's a lot to go on.
Yeah. My expectation right now is still that they're going to find this guy. But, you know, you're right. There could be a direct thing. But, yeah, hell, for all we know, this is motivated some completely different way. And, you know, this was a kill for hire on some unrelated thing. And part of the professionalism here was putting in clues to lead people the wrong direction. You know, who knows? You know, I mean, it's probably the more straightforward case. I mean, the most straightforward case here is that someone got screwed by the insurance company who happened to have a set of skills along these lines already. And they were just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take my revenge. I have the skills. I know how to do this. I'm going to do this. That's the most straightforward explanation and the most likely. But we can't rule out other more esoteric things at this point. We just don't know yet. Yeah. But going back to the reaction, though, like, you know, it almost has to be like a direct revenge kind of thing, right? For something. Because, like, if you're after, like, oh, I want the insurance company policies to change, this is not going to do that, you know?
Well, I will say that, look, I'm not going to go totally say that.
Okay.
Their reaction by some in the healthcare, they are a little bit chastened Ooped. By this. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Listen, I mean, number one thing is I heard, well, CEO calls for executive protection. I mean, almost every damn CEO now is demanding some kind of fucking additional security that they
didn't have. That's what I was actually going to say. Like, the changes that come out of this are the CEOs are going to have more security. It's not going to be the insurance company decides to be.
No, but I also heard some stuff related to. I got to tell you what.
I mean, we had that other company. We had that other company back off on that anesthesia thing, and people were trying to imply that was related. I really doubt that it was, but.
Listen, a lot of decisions for denial are not, how do I say,
they're discretionary.
They could go either way.
Right now the thumb is on the scale, like you say, default to deny. You could change your guidelines to people to just be a little bit more generous in ambiguous cases. You know,
right?
That there's a potential bottom line,
and there's a human factor. But the thing is, it's not changing the policy. It's the humans involved, and their fear for, well, this was an iffy one, and maybe that before they were just like, oh, fuck it, deny it, and now they're like, all right, I don't want to hear any, I don't want some guy to come in with a gun in here, whatever. Okay, fine, let him in, let him get a shit, because these are humans behind the fucking decision,
right? Well, and this is the case too. Like in this particular case, they went after the CEO. You could see an alternate history where they go after the case manager.
Fuck yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, that kind of shit has happened in other businesses and things. Sure.
Or for that matter, somebody just goes into the nearest office and gets whoever's there.
It starts, starts just, what? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, so that... And, you know, this all, I don't know, it's hard to tell with these kinds of, you know, do we have a trend or not, like you said, when they're small numbers to begin with. I mean, like, we can look at the overall murder rate or something and see trends reliably. But if you're talking about, like, you know, how many company executives are getting murdered, you know, well, what do you count? Like, are we only counting CEOs? Are we counting the whole C-suite? Are we talking just like, you know, anybody who's a high-level manager? And which companies count? Are we talking about only Fortune 500? Or are we talking about like when you were mentioning, I can't remember the last time a CEO was killed. I was trying to Google it. And like, I found some tech CEO in Baltimore that was killed in 2023. And apparently...
Oh, but that was...
Apparently that was, unrelated to her job.
Right,
etc. I found another list of, like, you know, 10 CEOs that have been killed or whatever, that was from way back in 2011, and I didn't recognize any of the names. So they were, and a lot of them were non-US, foreign, all over the world, you know. And so I'm like, I don't know. how do you even measure that? And it, because you're dealing with such a small group of people, like, if there's 0 1 year and 1 the next year, you've had an infinite increase.
That is totally an infinite increase. Absolutely, yes.
You know, so, but at the same time, I think the general, you can sort of get a feel of, like, and it definitely seems like, I mean, how, going back to the Donald Trump stuff, I mean, we had 2 high profile attempts on Donald Trump in the space of a couple months.
Right. Right.
You know, that's something. And, you know, they failed. We'd be in an entirely different universe if they hadn't failed, just saying. But I don't know. I mean, on the one hand,
I just think that this shows an uptick in this kind of shit. I mean,
I could see that. Well, and just forget the specific, like, murders and attempted murders for a second. Just the temperature of conversation and the level of polarization has been on the upswing for the last decade. Now, I'd argue we're still nowhere near where we were in the 60s, but, you know, we're, or the Civil War, for that matter, going back even further, but it's still on an upswing, I think. And I don't think it's crested. Maybe. I mean, the one thing I could see that was, like, that is a sign to me that maybe it's crested is that the response to Donald Trump winning, for the most part, has not been, oh my God, let's gird up for a major battle and we have to fight the forces of evil and all this kind of stuff. And it's just sort of like, we're tired.
Okay, my let it reaction play out. Has been to bury my head in the sand.
Exactly. Like,
I mean, I have done a remarkably good job at burying my head in the sand.
But it's not.
I right now watch no TV news. I have my feed now filtered on Threads, where I can only get stuff like stuff on Formula One and like the NBA, or, you know, just innocuous shit like that. I turned off so many of my, you know, news notifications. I'm not gonna lie. I still do catch some of what's going on. And I probably catch eventually most of what's going on.
Right.
But it's not the urgent alert. I'm just like, later on,
you'll see it in a daily update once every, you're fine if you see it the next morning.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, look, what's his name? They might name DeSantis as Secretary of Defense. Oh, that's interesting. You know, or, you know, whatever. I'm just, in between me being in the hospital, in between my wife being in the hospital, in between my job, in between my fucking condo board, okay, and add this goddamn fucking, you know, Trump presidency, I'm just like, you know what, listen, I need to simplify here. And I gotta be honest, the stress of a lot of this stuff in part played into why the hell I wound up in the fucking hospital in October. Mm. Let's not kid ourselves. Okay. That had to do, you know, because I'm in so many fucking things at the same time, you know, that this did not help. No. So yeah, I need to filter some of this shit right now. I just can't deal, you know?
Well, and I think, like I was saying, I think the reaction has been such, like, there was worries like, you know, oh, okay, if Harris had won, how would the Trump people react? Now, honestly, I think that was overblown too. I think for the most part, the Trump people were also like, we're tired. You know, like
I think you're right.
The enthusiasm levels that we saw, like in the Trump rallies towards the end, were low. I think if they had lost, we would not have seen like, oh my God, the MAGA militias, or we would not have seen even a repeat of January 6th from 4 years ago. Right. I think they would have been like, okay, that's it. And same thing, what we're seeing from the left, who are sort of just resigned and accepting of what's happening. And You know, and I think, you know, you never know how things are actually going to turn out once he's actually in office and things are happening. But I feel like maybe it's just a lull and the tensions will increase again starting in January. But I'm hopeful that this is sort of we've had the climax of this sort of tension and we can start calming down again. I don't know. A lot's going to depend on what Trump does or does not do. You know,
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what? Like right
now. On the other hand, let's go ahead and have the damn Civil War and have the blue states secede from the red states and have two countries, and maybe we'd all be happier.
After a civil war.
No, you know, like it could be a respectful divorce. You know, it doesn't have to be a civil war.
I mean, that's okay.
You could, you would end up on the red side there in Florida, but you know, oh well. No, of course, what people say is like, you know, there's a lot of people who would be screwed by such a transition. So that's not necessarily a good outcome either, but it's something, you know, I don't know. I feel like we'll see. I'm crossing my fingers that we have everything sort of calms down, and as opposed to these assassinations and assassination attempts over the last few months are the precursor to worse. I'm hoping it's not the precursor to worse. And instead, we calm down, you know? And I don't know. And I'm hoping, like, you know, like I said on election night, I think, like, our best hopes are that, you know, Trump doesn't do most of the shit he says he's going to do as usual. Like, he may want to do stuff, but he doesn't succeed. And so, like, you know, things aren't as bad as they could be. And then we move on. And then, you know, in 4 years, we have President Vance or something, and, you know, and then we move on, you know? So I don't know. Anything else on this, Yvonne, or anything else that you want to bring up before we take a break and I do whatever I'm going to do?
No, let's go and do, I don't know, something.
Something.
Yeah.
Okay, here is our second break.
Do. This podcast is sponsored by AlexMzilla.com. AlexMzilla is great. It's on YouTube and it has lots of fun videos.
AlexMzilla is awesome and great.
I love his videos, and they are obviously better than Curmudgeon's Corner.
Well, they're funnier. They're more interesting.
And frankly, he seems at least a little smarter than either of the hosts of Curmudgeon's Corner.
Honestly, it's ridiculous how endlessly talented and phenomenal AlexMzilla is.
That's how great his YouTube channel is.
AlexMzilla.com.
Yes. Do.
Okay, here I am. So, look, I'm just looking over this list. I've already known what I'm going to pick, but here's some of the things I'm not going to pick that we still haven't talked about. We never talked in depth about Gates dropping out. We didn't talk about how the Trump team is skipping a lot of
that.
Yeah, forgot about it. It's ancient history at this point. How Trump is skipping a lot of background checks and stuff. He finally signed some of the documents, and I guess some maybe, I mean, blah, blah, blah. We haven't talked, there was a, tied to our last topic, there was a wave of swatting, both of Trump team members and of Democrats over the last few weeks. And then more recently, there's been a major rebel offensive in Syria. There was this thing in South Korea with attempted martial law that didn't last very long.
Oh, God, yeah, well.
We had the government in France lost a vote of no confidence. Oh, and also in France, we had the reopening of Notre Dame after the fire a few years ago. We have the issues with the other Trump nominee for defense secretary, Hegseth, has some issues. There's more on Blue Sky. There's a legal thing TikTok.
Wait. Because I can't forget the Hegseth comment.
Okay.
So
then I'll get to the topic.
The Hegseth comment I understood is, what did I say? Oh, if you let me be sec def, I'll quit drinking. I swear.
Yes. Yes. This is because the more time elapses since Trump announced him as his choice, the more we've found out about his history. He has two issues. One is sexual harassment and assault and things like that.
That's actually a job requirement for the Trump administration. Yeah, practically.
And then second is apparently like serious drinking issues, like drinking.
Now that Trump doesn't like.
He
does not like that.
We were talking about drinking on the job at Fox. We were talking about going out to events and getting blacked out drunk so much that his friends had to like carry him home and stuff like that.
Oh, Jesus.
On a regular basis, not like, oh, there were one or two incidents, but this happened frequently enough that it was talked about. And yeah, up to and including, like I said, being drunk at work too, like, you know, showing up for his Fox morning show, clearly intoxicated.
Drunk off his ass. Oh, nice.
You know, and so all that's been coming up. So that's why the promise. But, you know, clearly from the description, Like, it's hard to, like, diagnose from afar, but he sounds like he's got an actual issue. He's got a problem. It's not like just, oh, he overindulged a couple times, you know? And if he's actually, like, flat-out alcoholic, blah, 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 you know, ask anybody who has successfully gone from that state to being sober. It's hard. It's not just like you decide one day, you know, oh, you're done. I mean, some people do go cold turkey like that. But even the people who do have said it's really difficult. It's not just.
It is very difficult.
Not a big deal. Like,
especially moving into a very high stress job, you know, which that would be. You know, that definitely is. I mean, come on, give me a fucking break. Being a fucking talking head on Fox has, you know, what, like 0.05% of the stress that you have as a fucking Secretary of Defense of the United States. Give me a fucking break. I mean, I don't understand, you know, why, you know, we're putting on a clown. Well, I understand Trump. Like, what am I saying? What am I saying?
It makes perfect sense, Yvonne. It matches exactly what you would expect.
I'm sorry. I forgot what the fuck I'm talking about. What the hell am I saying?
You know, this is another one, though, where it seems like he doesn't have the votes at the moment. And by the way, the other thing, since we're talking about this topic for a few minutes, all of this talk about Trump forcing Congress to go into a recess and doing recess appointments for everybody. Nobody's talking about it anymore. Congress came, apparently, you know, you would need at the very least, you would need the Speaker of the House on board and to force the situation and activate this provision where the president can force the Congress into not remission. That's the wrong word.
Remission?
Yeah, that's the wrong word.
Not recession.
Recess.
Can force not a recession.
Okay. Not a recession. Can force them into recess if there's a disagreement between the two houses, whatever. But apparently, basically, the Senate and I guess the House too basically said, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're not going to just go into recess and let you put whoever you want without.
Listen, I am pretty positive that part of this is a future political calculus, not a short-term calculus. Mm-hmm. Because look, let's be clear about this. A lot of these people, like a Mike Johnson or these guys, are pretty young, right? Mm-hmm. So if you put in a Secretary of Defense who is a liquored up lunatic, okay? All right. it's like we've said, Trump might die before the end of this damn term. For God's sakes, you're going to have to be living with the shit left behind by this crap. And right. So I think that they're thinking further ahead right now as well. We only got 4 more years of this guy. If he makes it that long, you know, we can't just, you know, rubber stamp, you know, people like this, you know.
Well, and basically, I think the whole exercise and some of these picks specifically were Donald Trump flexing to see just how much power
how
he
far.
Had.
Yeah.
And I think he found out he has limits.
Yep.
You know, we were honestly worried that the Senate would just completely roll over on everything. It looks like no. Where's the line?
The new leader of the Senate.
The line
new
is
leader
Gates,
of the Senate.
You know, but
yeah. Well, I mean, the line is with Gates. I don't know. Does RFK Jr. have the votes to get nominated?
Look, the ones that are in trouble right now, I think Hegseth is in trouble. I think Tulsi Gabbard is in trouble. And I think RFK Jr. is in trouble. Now, if all 4 of those get blocked by the Senate, that, you know, Trump keeps saying, oh, there's no significant blow. This is fine, blah, blah, blah. If he loses all 4 of those, that's a significant, like, sorry, Trump, you ain't getting these, you know, and this defines where the line of acceptability is, even for a Senate that is a lot Trumpier than it was before.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Like, even in the last time the Republicans had the Senate. I mean, the
leader of the Senate that they chose is not an ultra
MAGA choice. You know, Trump wanted somebody else.
Stop wanting Rick Scott.
Yeah.
And the problem is with Rick Scott that I keep finding out is that everybody keeps all of a sudden finding out is that everybody really hates Rick Scott. I don't understand how the hell. The only reason he wins in Florida is because right now, for whatever reason, people are voting just for the R guy. But if you went on a popularity survey of Republicans say, fuck this guy, we hate him. So it's another one that is like on the Ted Cruz kind of side of Republicans where, yeah, we'll hold our nose. He's our guy, but fuck him.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It'll be interesting. The other thing, just to be clear, like that's interesting here is Trump is explicitly not putting all of his political weight behind these people. Like he made a couple calls for Gates, but he didn't like put his foot down. You know, he told Hegseth,
who cares? Who cares? Fuck him. Whatever.
Anyway, he told him that, you know, he's not making calls for him. He's, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He can get the senators on board, but he's not like, if he really wanted to, Trump could be strong arming all these senators. Trump could be all about like, hey, I'm going to go against you full tilt if you don't do this. He's not doing that.
Here's what I'm hoping. Okay? Here's what my hope is. We had lazy Trump. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, no. Because look, here's the fundamental deal, and we've talked about this before. Like, Trump, aside from a couple issues that he's passionate about, like get rid of all the damn brown immigrants, and tax cuts
don't give a shit about anything else.
Buddies. Those are the only two things he actually cares about. Everything else,
yeah, give a shit about anything else.
And like the main reason he ran for president was to get rid of all of his criminal charges,
power and money.
You know, like yeah,
power and money and being staying out of jail.
Yeah, it was like,
and he's got all three.
Now he's got all three.
Look, so, he's not going to go to jail. Well, yep. Let's be clear about this. At least on anything federal, there's no way he's getting to
and
go
even
to jail.
The state stuff is pushed off at least 4 years, probably more.
Right. And even the state stuff is staved off for indefinitely. Who the hell knows how long? Okay. He's going to exit the presidency, the richest ex-president ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be able to enable all his friends to do whatever the fuck they want. So
I think for the most part, I mean, as much protest as there was about like, well, Project 2025 isn't like Trump's thing or whatever. He's hiring a bunch of people who are involved in that. And for the most part, he's going to be like, I don't give a fuck. Here are the people. Yeah, I'm appointing people. They can do what they want, except
the Doge Commission, their yes. number one suggestion that they want to do that these fucking morons, which, by the way, Congress will tell Elon and Vivek, go fuck yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Is to go and cut VA health care. That's their number one suggestion.
That they've come up with so far.
$120 billion for Veteran Affairs health care. And you know what they're going to tell them? Fuck you. You're out of your minds.
Right. Right. No,
Head Start. Listen, cut Head Start, Sam. I mean, everybody in the Republicans are going to tell them, are you a nuts? Cut $8 billion for federal prisons.
Well, and
what
they,
the fuck?
They've been giving out the message over the last couple of days, too, that they're starting to look at Social Security and Medicare, and those are on the table, too.
Yeah. How are those going to go? How well is that going to go with the constituents? Let me tell you something. Republican House members that would vote for cutting Social Security will wind up, they all know, they will wind up losing. I mean, that's like, you want to talk about a third rail of politics?
The term third rail of politics was coined for Social Security.
Yeah. That's the third rail right there. Okay. You guys are crazy. You want to go cut Social Security? Yeah. Well,
people have also mentioned that like the whole Doge thing was possibly Trump's like, oh, here, go play with this toy and get out of my face. Like a way.
Because he's been, Jesus Christ, he couldn't get rid of him.
But basically saying, like, look, you can go play on this commission. You can make some recommendations. None of it's going to go anywhere, and nobody's going to care what you say. But if you're playing with this, then you're out of my hair for other things.
I'm hoping that Trump really spends his presidency mostly golfing. I really want him.
And this is a very realistic possibility.
That I mean, we like, enable that Trump really spends 4 years golfing. I really do. I really do.
Well, and of course, the question
that's
is
all I want.
Somebody else is actually going to be making decisions, and what do they do?
Who knows? Right?
But yeah, I think it's actually very, very light. I mean, look, even in the first term, I mean,
exactly.
It's not only
he
the golf.
Broke the
it
record
was
for me golfing. I want him to at Mar-a-Lago and wherever. I don't know. Listen, just. I want him to listen. Just take a vacation on our dime. I'm fine.
I mean, even the January 6th stuff. I mean, part of the criticism was like he planned out and was involved in the whole thing. But on the day of, people were like, all he's doing is watching TV. He's not helping right. in any way. Of course, the reason why he wasn't helping was because he wanted it. But you know, whatever. But he was. We all know what happened in the first term. I think it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be, I think you are going to have a lot of Donald Trump only engaged in a handful of things he cares about. And for the most part saying, as long as they don't embarrass me, people on my team can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And then the question is like, what do those people do? And what damage are they able to do? Because they have some pretty, you know, pernicious agendas as well. But I think it is a good sign as we're like reaching for straws or whatever the term is, looking for silver linings, whatever, that the Senate at the very least is actually showing some hesitation to some of his nominees. So, okay. Now, I had intended not to talk about that. But and the thing that I actually wanted to bring up was not on the Trump side of the equation, but on the Biden side of the equation, which is pardons. And what we of course, since my last show, like you weren't here, but since the Hunter Biden pardon actually hit, like as I was pushing out the last show. So obviously we didn't talk about it on there, but also there's been talk about preemptive pardons, or some people are calling them protective pardons or whatever. And what should Joe Biden do? So first of all, Hunter Biden, like the big thing is, you know, Joe Biden famously had said over and over and over again that he was not going to pardon Hunter Biden. He was not going to commute Hunter Biden's sentence. He was not going to do any such thing because the proper, you know, the consequences would be what the consequences were. And nevertheless, this last week, he issued a very broad pardon to Hunter Biden, Martin. Not just for the things he's actually on trial for, but basically for anything he might have done during a 10-year period. And so, of course, there are all kinds of people angry, and not just like Republicans. There are all kinds of Democrats being like, what the hell are you doing, Joe Biden? This is the wrong thing to do, etc. I'll give my quick take, which is from the moment Joe Biden started saying that he wasn't going to pardon Hunter Biden, I was like, that's bullshit. Of course he is. Like on his last day in office, whenever that may be, whether it's coming up now or whether he had run for re-election and won or whatever, at the end of his presidency, of course he's going to do it. Of course he's going to do it. There's no way he won't. And I think I was proven right. But like the thing is, there is one scenario, I think, where he would not have. And that's where Hunter Biden was already cleared or had a sentence that did not involve jail time and was in no further danger. If that had been the case, I think that's what Joe Biden was hoping would happen. And if that had happened, I don't think he would have pardoned him because he would have decided he doesn't need one. He's fine. But that's not the scenario we're in. You know, one, Hunter was, of course.
Well, I think a lot.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, no, no. You finish.
I was just going to say, one, Hunter was a few days away from getting his sentence in the case that he's already pled guilty in. And so one question I had is, why not wait till the last day, wait till January 19th or something? And the reason he was about to be sentenced. The other is that the Trump team has been very, very explicit. And believe, you can choose not to believe them, perhaps, but they have been very, very explicit, including Donald Trump himself, that what was this election about? This was about retribution. This was about going after the people who were against him all this time. Now, some of that is against, you know, the Jack Smith and the prosecutor team and people in Congress who were involved in the J6 investigation and things like that. But, you know, Hunter Biden has been core to this all the time. Of course, you would go after Hunter Biden more, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so the rationale is, look, I believe that if I didn't do this, my family, Hunter specifically, but quite frankly, probably other people in his family too, are going to be harassed for the length of Donald Trump's term. And I'm going to prevent that. And so, okay, go ahead, Yvonne. What's your thoughts on Hunter? And then we can talk about if he should do more.
The thing is that all the dynamics related to Joe Biden saying he wouldn't pardon Hunter Biden really had a lot to do with the fact that I thought myself that Joe was going to at least either get reelected or, you know, somebody. Well, it started off from Joe, I thought was going to get reelected. Okay. You're right. Exactly. And so, you know, if Hunter went to jail for stuff that he was convicted, then he might plead a deal. He was going to let the system play out. Okay. Yeah. Because the Justice Department, you know, under his, you know, direction, wasn't being a persecutorial, you know, wasn't going to do this kind of stuff that Trump was trying to do. Okay. However, the reality is that
let's be clear on one thing: revenge. Yeah. Well, in terms of, you know, politicizing the Justice Department and using it as a political tool, let's be absolutely clear. If Joe Biden had wanted to stop the Hunter prosecution, he could have done so at any time.
At any time.
At any time. Not just with a pardon. He could have just told DOJ to drop it.
Just to drop it. Right.
You know, and so he didn't do that. You know, and of course, Donald Trump is all about, the Jack Smith stuff is all political, blah, blah, blah. If anything, the Biden administration held back.
Right.
You know, and only did these things when it became absolutely clear that they couldn't get away with not doing it.
We are very, very pissed right now that they were not as aggressive as they should have been.
Yes.
Against Trump. They should have moved on him earlier. These cases should have been already tried.
And he should have been convicted by now. Well, there are a couple things. I have heard some really cogent arguments about how there was actually stuff going on during the time period we think they hadn't even started yet. And there was a lot of back and forth.
Too long.
I generally agree. I think they were not as aggressive as they could have been.
They took way too damn long, period.
But also there are other things they could have gone after him besides just these things. There was the leftovers from Mueller that, you know, they allowed the statute of limitations to just run out without doing anything about. There are all kinds of conflict of interest and emoluments things that they could have gone after. No, there's all kinds of things that they could have dug into and gone after. So if anything, the Biden administration was restrained and, you know, only doing things that were so blatantly, obviously bad that they had no choice, you know?
Right.
So anyway, but I interrupted. I apologize.
No, my whole thing is that I think it really changed this calculus. Obviously, the fact that, you know, Trump won re-election and that he was coming in with a complete, you know, I mean, a stated, you know, intent
and honestly, I think you're right.
To harass all these people.
I mean, honestly, if Harris had won and Hunter had been sentenced to jail, I don't know how that would have played out, but I would not have been surprised if they had let Hunter go to jail,
really think that it probably would have changed the calculus whether Biden was going to pardon him or not. But I do think that the bottom line is that with Trump coming in and with his stated intent,
yes,
there is no fucking way that he could not pardon him. And by the way, do the other preemptive pardons as he's considering doing. This is what's making this calculus. It's the stated intent of the incoming administration to go and target these people, period. End of discussion. And so,
Kash Patel, who is now the nominee for FBI director, who, by the way, he has to fire the current FBI director to even appoint a new one because they have 10-year terms and he's got 3 years left. The FBI director he appointed.
By the way, yes. It was appointed by him,
right? But the Kash Patel, the new FBI director nominee, who is another one, by the way, who may or may not make it through the Senate. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
But in his book, he has an appendix that literally has a list of people he says that should be gone after by the next Republican administration for criminal charges. That includes not only Hunter Biden, not only Jack Smith, but goes all the way back to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and basically any prominent Democrat.
Joe, just take that list. Okay. And okay. There's a preemptive pardon list. Yeah.
You know, oh, and of course, Fauci's on the list. They want Fauci
too. Yeah. Put him on there. Yeah.
You know, and so look, so let's talk about the preemptive pardons now. The argument for is everything you've talked about. The Trump administration has telegraphed explicitly that they're going after these people. Now, to be clear, you can never get them to articulate specific charges that make any sense or specific evidence on any of these. Like,
they can still make their life miserable.
Yes. And we've said this before, right? Like, if somebody is actually guilty, like, Yvonne, you and I would have no problem if Hunter actually went to jail. Like, he did stuff. Now, yeah. Is it absolutely true that he probably wouldn't have been charged at all if he wasn't Joe Biden's son? Yes. But he did stuff. He broke the law. Like, you know, but like, so if any of these people actually committed real crimes, by all means, we should go after them. And I think that's one of the things I posted, I think, on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, that one of the things that has to be on Biden's mind that would never in a million years be on the mind of the Trump equivalent is, what if I give them a blanket pardon and it turns out they actually did something? You know, because I don't want to pardon them for something they're actually guilty of, you know?
Well, he needs to do some serious vetting before he goes and does it.
Right. Well, you've got
time to do that.
You've got some time left. You can decide what to do here. But the thing is, what's with the Trump folks saying explicitly, we don't know exactly what they did. We don't know exactly what crime it is, but we're going to dig in and we're going to find them and we're going to go after them and we will blah, 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 blah. Then, yeah, I mean, a blanket pardon like the kind he did to Hunter, which basically said, you know, any federal crimes you may or may not have been involved in the last decade, off limits,
yeah,
done. I mean, I could see doing that to a variety of these people where you feel like there's just vindictive targeting with nothing else. Now, the counter argument is you're setting a really bad precedent, you know, because what does this mean Donald Trump can do? Donald Trump can, the day he's leaving office, just pardon everybody. pardon everybody in the administration in anticipation.
Okay, but, oh my God, setting a precedent. Listen, I'm sorry. How many people did he not pardon out the door specifically because of that the last time around? I mean, because some of those people, like he is with people, it kind of like pissed him off. But yeah, he went with the guys that he, you know, anybody that he really wanted pardoned, he pardoned.
The thing is, though, he did, those were all after the fact pardons for things that were already charged. He didn't do any preemptive ones. Like one of the things people talked about, he could have, and same thing, he was mad that they didn't succeed, but he could have preemptively pardoned all the January 6 people. You know, he could have preemptively pardoned himself.
But Sam, I don't think you remember. I don't even know if he's going to pardon these people now. Do you remember what the line was about these guys? They're losers. They failed.
Yes.
Right. So that's why he didn't pardon them. They were losers.
Right.
They failed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why he didn't pardon them.
But I think clearly the point, though, is like the Preston argument makes sense in a non-Trump world. Like if you had normal, you know, pre-Trump Republicans coming in.
Exactly. Right.
If you were about to have President Romney right now, or President Jeb Bush, or something like that, I don't think preemptive pardons would even be discussed in the slightest. Because you would expect those people to come in and act responsibly and go with the old tradition of you appoint an attorney general who's not going to put their, you know, finger in it, whatever the right metaphor is here, is not going to be a weapon. Like, and to be clear, all of that came from the fact that we used to have attorney generals like that. Johnson and Nixon and Kennedy used the Justice Department vindictively against their enemies routinely.
Right.
They also used the IRS that way. They generally used the power of the federal government for their personal gain and against their political enemies. And after Watergate, we said, no, that's not okay. And a whole lot of protections were put in place to stop that. And that's what that's what Trump is throwing out the window. And but Joe Biden very much believes in that stuff. And if he thought somebody was coming in like these normal Republicans, pre-Trump normal Republicans, he wouldn't be thinking about this because he'd expect those people to, like, you disagree on policy, but you're generally going to do the right thing on this kind of stuff. And but there's zero trust that Trump will do the right thing. I mean, come on.
Right.
And so, I said on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that I think Biden should actually be very aggressive with preemptive pardons. Screw the precedent, screw people saying, like, this is not the right thing to do. Stop. I mean, it's too late for a lot of things, but at least on this, don't be bringing the knife to the gunfight. You know, like, the other team is going to do whatever they're going to do, and they're going to make the full use of federal power. So while you've got the time to do it, do the same damn thing. You know, all of this, like, well, we want to restrain ourselves because we hope they will restrain themselves when they have the same power. No, fuck that. That's from a previous universe. Like, it's, I wish the Democrats had actually given up on some of that, like, a long time ago. Like, frankly, like, a big part of this election back and forth we've been having is, like, people just, you know, blame the party in power for not doing what they want, for not doing anything, not just not doing what they want, but for being ineffective in general, and where they don't understand checks and balances and stuff. So, like, should have ditched the filibuster years ago. It's just, like, gone full speed ahead, getting shit done.
Yeah, but fucking Sinema and Manchin fucking blocked it.
I saw one thing the other day saying, like, all of the blame the Democrats got for not doing XYZ, if you'd just gotten those two on board with the full big build back better or whatever, which I guess would have included having to do some sort of exemption of the filibuster or something. I don't know. I forget the details of all back then, but you could have gotten a lot of shit done that was very visible and people maybe would have remembered, but don't remember like the stuff that did get done. Nobody gives Biden the credit for.
Listen, I really look this environment right now of anti-incumbency because of the general economic situation. And the general economic sensation that people have had, and this entire, and it's really fed by a combination of xenophobia, mostly transphobia, and then you add this thing where a lot of people, the thing is that they see, oh my God, these costs went up,
yeah,
but they don't see that they're making more money. They can't see the net.
Well, also, they can't see the net, but also, if I get more money, it's because I'm awesome, not because of something the government did. If prices are higher, it's not my fault.
It's the government's
fault. It's Biden's fault.
But then the expectation that many have that they think that somehow the prices will go back down.
Yes.
Which is ludicrous, okay? You know, so you get this entire thing where the thing is I will say that the main thing I've seen with many has a lot to do with this pricing thing where in their head, they're like, whatever. And then, man, this entire anti-immigrant thing that they have fed, I mean, this entire xenophobic anti-immigrant thing that they have fed this monster where it's just so huge and it's global.
Right. A lot of the things we're talking about are global. The price spikes were global, pandemic fueled. And if anything, like the U.S. did better than most countries in terms of that. But that doesn't matter.
Than every other fucking country. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's the same thing. Like I said, I'm dealing with over here with so many disgruntled people in the condo association. All right.
Back to this again. Because, go ahead.
Well, no, but it's related to the, Sam, it's related to the price increase thing and how they see it. Okay. And who they blame. All right. Because condo assessments over the last 5 years have gone up like 30% in our community. And the main reason has been a combination of inflation and mostly driven by insurance. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But the reality is that they're up here 30%, but you go across South Florida, they're up 60%. We have one of the lowest rates of increase across the fucking state, okay, considering what's going on. And people still are bitching about the increases. And I'm like, people, you know what? I can't control insurance, okay? We can't control the fucking insurance, okay? Insurance rates have skyrocketed, okay? It's right. the biggest line item in our budget. And if it goes up that way, we've got no way. I mean, I've shopped it. It doesn't matter. But people still, they don't care, okay? They blame the leadership because you're costing me more. And it doesn't fucking matter why it is. It doesn't matter that you did better relatively to the other ones like Biden did the economy. Now, by the way, I still won the election. It's not clear, but it was a lot closer than it's been in the past. Way closer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the reason I kept bringing that up is because what I see is the behavior. The misinformation, the anger, this whole anti-incumbent thing in general, it just seems to be fucking everywhere about everything, period.
Yeah.
We want to make a change. Why?
So back to pardons, preemptive pardons all around, be like super aggressive.
I'm all for it. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah.
I think like you said, it's worth doing some vetting. Like
it's worth doing vetting. You got to take this list. First, you got to vet it thoroughly. Make sure that you're not exactly, you know, doing something that you pardon somebody. Then you're like, holy fuck, what the hell? But I'm all for it. Yes. Do it.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate. Just fucking do it.
And I feel like they're gnashing their teeth a little bit about this at the moment. Like, trying to figure out, like, I think this, they are considering it seriously, but they have not definitely decided to do it, I don't think. At least the reporting says that there's some hesitation. They're not sure if they really want to do this, the precedent, the thing, the blah, 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 blah. I think they need to get over that and do that. One other concern was, what if people don't want the pardons and aren't going to accept them? Well, ask them first. You know, if somebody is out there being like, I actually don't want a pardon. Okay. Then ask them, don't give them the pardon if they don't want it, you know, because there's also this implication and that people have worried about that accepting a pardon is perceived as an admission of guilt. Right. And just to be clear, like the normal, like there is an official pardon request process that people can go through, that they fill out a form and they send it to some agency and the agency like vets them and gives a certain number of them to the president to make the final decision. I believe part of that process is an admission of guilt in most cases, but it is not actually the actual presidential pardon power is unlimited. Like the Ford's pardon of Nixon was a preemptive pardon without Nixon ever making an admission of
ever guilt. Admitting guilt. That's right. Yeah.
Carter made a blanket pardon of Vietnam War draft dodgers. He did not even individually identify them, let alone look into the specific cases and who was guilty and who was not and blah, blah, blah. It was just a blanket pardon for anybody who might have committed that crime during the length of the Vietnam War, you know, and similarly, like, you know, there could be pardons here. The text of the pardon could explicitly, you know, say we're not making anything on guilt or innocence. I think even the Hunter Biden one, I think, had some text, you know, about might or might not have blah, 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 blah. You know, having said that, though, there is no automatic admission of guilt as part of accepting a pardon. However, you may absolutely guarantee that the political opponents of anybody who gets one of these pardons will absolutely hang it over their head as if it was and talk about it as if it was. So, and some of these people are politicians, so they care about that. They care about the perception and, like, you know, that they're not actually admitting guilt. And, you know, so there might be some people who don't want it. So don't give it to the people who don't want it, you know, but, I don't know. I want one.
Can I get one? I don't know that I've done anything, but I'm like, you know,
I was going to ask, you know, what have you done, Yvonne?
Nothing that I know of, but, you know, I actually think it'd be kind of cool to get a presidential pardon.
Yeah, a preemptive pardon that says anything you've done in the last 30 years that might not have been a federal crime. Well,
hell, at least, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like guaranteed. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be prosecuted, even if I don't expect to be. But, you know, hey,
there you go.
You know, it'd be kind of cool to like frame it. I mean, I'm sure it's got to come in some kind of like cool little thing that you could frame in your office or something.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice. I mean, talk about a conversation piece.
Right. No,
I have a pardon. I'm like,
and I don't know. I think Joe should also be thinking of what other places can he use presidential power with immunity over the next, what, we have month and a week, something like that.
I mean, we have pardoned some fucked up people.
Yeah.
I mean, like Trump pardoned Michael Milken. I mean, who is the biggest fucking crooks? We talk about whitewashing all his crimes now with his Milken Foundation, the fucking bullshit that he does. You know, and like nobody talks about the fact that he was one of the biggest fucking fraudsters in Wall Street's ever in history.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, of course, the thing with pure executive power other than the pardon is that almost everything in that category are things that Trump could reverse as soon as he got in. But you can still make him jump through some hoops to do that. I don't know. So, okay. Anything else, Yvonne, or should we close this sucker up? You've gone longer than you thought you were going to be able to.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife apparently is knocked. I mean, I guess the medication really has her knocked out.
Right.
I thought she was going to really, I was worried that she was about to come to whatever, and I'd have to, do stuff. But apparently, I mean, she is out. So,
well, good, I guess, so.
Well, yeah, she's not feeling pain.
How long is it supposed to take to heal from the surgery? Like, how long is she going to be?
Months. This is not quick.
Beautiful. Yeah. No,
this is not quick.
I don't know if I mentioned on the show as well, like, since we're talking family injuries, my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, in, I guess it was October, got hit by a car and, like, broken pelvis, broken ankle, a head injury as well. So my wife's
been... How's she doing?
My wife's been in Pennsylvania, like, so she was in the hospital a couple weeks, then she was in, like, a rehab a couple weeks, and then they finally sent her home. And my wife is there with her at home because they sent her home before she was able to actually be self-sufficient. So my wife has been with her ever since, and I think the plan is next week my wife's coming back and my daughter's flying out there to take over. But it's the same thing. Like, this is months and months and months long recovery, right? And so she is doing a lot better than she was right after the accident, but she's still, like, she lived alone in a multi-story home. She can't do stairs yet. You know, she's now starting to be able to go around on the first floor without, like, a walker or a wheelchair sometimes, but it's very tiring, very exhausting, and she can't do stairs yet. And, you know, so these, and she's a bit older than your wife, so healing also takes longer.
I'm sure.
You know? You know, so I don't know. She's doing better too. But yeah, these kinds of things. A few years ago, my father was also hit by a car. Somebody ran over his foot. That also took many, many months to get back to where you were before. You know? I mean, running over your foot is better than getting hit square on. You know, but
yes, much
but,
better,
but still, like, it months to recover. Months to recover.
Here's one thing. We have a Disney trip planned at the end of this month. I am going to have to probably get her one of those little electric scooter things.
Yeah. Okay.
At least they got those. I get her on one of those.
You need the electric one or just the one, the knee scooter thing that you push around?
No. She's got the knee scooter, but for Disney, I'm going to get her the electric one.
Okay.
The place is too big. I did get her a knee scooter. Yeah.
Get her one of those things that were the kind you sit in and, like, just scooter up, the mobility scooters. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I
can see that. Well, that way Manu will be happy because he can honk the horn.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, yeah, long recoveries from these kinds of injuries, but hope it goes as smoothly as it can, Yvonne. And yeah. And hope nobody else gets injured in the next couple months, you know?
Look, I'm hoping that I don't have a recurrence of my problem and I wind up in the hospital, because that would be a disaster. I don't know what the fuck we're doing if we're both ill right now.
Yeah, that becomes an issue. So hopefully it doesn't.
Yes.
Okay, let's close this sucker up. Hey, everybody, go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find our... What?
The chug.
My son is passing me a dryer hedgehog that okay. he has made 3D printed versions of various sizes of the hedgehog. Okay, stop. No. Come on. I'm wrapping up. Okay, I'm going to mark this to edit. Okay. Okay, everybody, go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find our archives, all of our old shows. You can find all the ways to contact us. You can find transcripts for some of the old shows as well. Like the it's been like 2 years now we've been doing transcripts. It's been a while. You can find links.
Been a while.
Yeah. You can find links to our YouTube. I haven't added links to our TikTok yet. We didn't talk about TikTok maybe banned again. Like, you know, they lost in court. We'll see how that goes.
Maybe.
We'll talk. Maybe. I still think chances are Probably not, but we'll see. And then, you can go to our Patreon and give us money, of course. At various levels, we will send you we'll mention you on the show. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug, all of that kind of thing. And at $2 a month or more, or if you ask nicely, we will invite you to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I are talking and chatting and sharing links throughout the week, along with a variety of our listeners. So Yvonne, do you have a highlight from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that will make people so excited they want to get on there and log in all the time and see what we're talking about because it's so compelling?
Yes. Residents of Northern California neighborhood had a good laugh after Thursday's powerful earthquake struck the region. A robotic vacuum cleaner that apparently got disconnected for invasion was found roaming the streets. So there was like a quake and somehow a Roomba somehow wound up escaping this house and it was just roaming aimlessly down the street.
As Roombas do.
Yeah.
Well,
also, I believe that we shared that there was this, here it is. Hawk to a girl responds as people call for her to be jailed, with fans losing life savings after buying her cryptocurrency. The viral sensation has been accused of pulling the rug under the investors. Her crypto coin plummeted by $430 million in just 20 minutes.
And just to be clear, in percentage terms, that was like a 90% drop or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I'm like, I do question when I saw this guy, one guy that said, I put my life savings in there. And I'm suspecting that he had like maybe $20 as his life savings, or maybe 40, maybe 40.
Look, I've said on the show before, I have gambled with some cryptocurrency. I've put in a little bit of excess cash into that I could afford to lose.
Look, I've gambled in stocks and gotten killed. Look, I had some penny stocks at one time. I lost on one stock. I mean, my God, I lost like $60,000 on a stock, but I had a lot more in my portfolio. It wasn't like, you know, I was like maybe at that point, I don't know, this was like 20 years ago. I was like, it was like 10% of my portfolio at the time, something like that, whatever. So it wasn't like, you know, I could withstand a loss of 10% of my portfolio. Okay. All right. I didn't put all my money into a fucking penny stock.
That's important. I mean, this is the point I was getting at. Like, sure, play around, gamble with these things, but recognize that's what you're doing and recognize it could go to zero. And
right.
And if you're not okay with that, then you shouldn't be doing it at all. Like, you know, especially like Hawk to a girl comes out with a new crypto coin.
And you put your life savings in it. I mean, dude, what are you doing?
I mean, at least if you're talking about
Hawk to a girl as your financial advisor.
I mean, at least if you're talking about Bitcoin or Ethereum or one of the really big ones, you have some kind of argument of something. Even there,
still,
don't put your entire life savings in anything.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, seriously, like, I have very little sympathy for the people who are like, I lost it all. Like, okay, if you want to play around with the Hawk to a girl currency or something and put a little bit in that you can afford to lose, it's the same, you know, then fine. But
yeah,
anybody saying that they've lost a significant amount that affects their lives, I'm sorry, you're just dumb. You're just dumb.
100%. 100%.
Okay. Are we done?
All right. We're done.
Okay, thanks everybody for joining us for another Curmudgeon's Corner. Have a great week. Stay safe. Oh, I mentioned last week that I was going to set up the Google Sheet for our big prediction show at the end of the year, which is coming up soon. I haven't done it yet. I promise by next week, I will share a link to a Google Sheet where people can add suggestions for things they want us to predict. But I haven't done it yet. I'm lame. Sorry. I'm just doing other stuff. With that, have a great week. Stay safe.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. Have a good week. Great week. Blah, blah, blah. Goodbye.
Blah, blah, blah. More blah, blah.
And goodbye. Say goodbye.
Bye. Bye, bye, bye. Blah, blah.
Okay, that's it. Later, Yvonne.
All right, let's stop this thing.